As we approach the Yom Narayim, so there are three famous words, three famous terms that we hopefully try to connect ourselves to. Those are the three words that appear at the end of the moving tefillah of Nesana Tokyev. Teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, mavir, nesra, gezeira. So I thought we'd try to speak a little bit, both in terms of halach, a little bit in terms of achshkaf and machshava, just what exactly these three terms mean, teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, what they mean in general, and what the particular meaning, the particular significance is as we approach the days coming up. So the first of the terms, the teshuva. So teshuva, we know, first and foremost, is a mitzvah in the Torah. We know that the Rishonim quote teshuva as one of the tag mitzvahs, and Ram counts it, beginning of the teshuva as one of the tag mitzvahs. There is a technical question in the Rishonim, just how exactly one goes about doing the mitzvah of teshuva. Is the mitzvah of teshuva really the vidui? Is the ma'isa mitzvah is really the vidui, the confessions of one's sins, that's what really the mitzvah is? Or is the whole process, the fact that a person is mischarit for the past, that he's makabel l'haba, all the details, the nuances of teshuva, that's all going to be part of the mitzvah. Again, that's a technical detail. How exactly, it's important technical detail, but it's how exactly you formulate the mitzvah of teshuva. But everybody agrees that there is such a mitzvah of teshuva. If a mitzvah of tshuva exists all year long, is there any unique mitzvah of tshuva during these days that are coming upon us? So this seems to be a machlokes in Rishonim. Is there a very special mitzvah of tshuva dafka this time of the year? So there is a pasuk in Parshas Zachari Mos, where the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur as a day of lifnei Hashem titaru. It's a day that we're supposed to purify ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean exactly? How does a person go about being mitar themselves lifnei Hashem? So there are different ways in the Rishonim and the Nechorim how to read that pasuk. Just pshat the pasuk. What does that mean? Lifnei Hashem titaru. So one could argue that lifnei Hashem titaru is not a mitzvah to you. Lifnei Hashem titaru is a statement of fact. It means ki bayayim azei yichaper aleichem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be mechaper for you on Yom Kippur if you do what you're supposed to do. And mikol v'asek lifnei Hashem titaru. It's a haftocha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was promising. He was assuring you that he is going to be mitar you. But one could argue that lifnei Hashem titaru is a mitzvah. That's a chiyuv. So if you take that approach, that lifnei Hashem titaru is belosh and tzivoy, so what exactly does that mean? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Yom Kippurim that he thinks that this phrase, lifnei Hashem titaru, that perhaps is the source for the practice that we have of going to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur. The Rosh in the end of Masechus Yuma quotes in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon as an age-old practice from the Gaonim to go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur. And Rav Sadia Gaon says he make a bracha when you go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh writes, he doesn't know where this comes from. He says, Mehecha Teisi can make a bracha. You only make a bracha when you're doing something that's a mitzvah, either a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah derabanan. This idea of going to the mikvah and erevim kippah doesn't appear in the Gemara at all. So what kind of a mitzvah is it? So what's pshat in Rav Sadia Gaon? So different achorim give different pshatim within Rav Sadia Gaon. Some say that Rav Sadia Gaon meant it's a takanas Ezra, and takanas Ezra, that you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to daven all year long without going to the mikvah first. So even though we don't follow the takana the rest of the year, but on Yom Kippur we do follow the takana. It's one approach, others different mefarshim have different ideas. I don't understand Pshat Rav Sadia Gaon. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks that maybe the mitzvah of being mitar yourself on Erev Yom Kippur is a pasuk in Chumash. Lifnei Hashem titaru. So titaru here would mean halachic tara in the sense of tumah v'tara, in terms of going to the mikvah. That's the mitzvah of lifnei Hashem titaru. So again, so we have two possibilities. What does lifnei Hashem titaru mean? Either lifnei Hashem titaru is not a mitzvah b'chlal, it's just b'loshem haftocha. Well, lifnei Hashem titaru is a tzivui, and the tzivui is to go to the mikvah. But it's hard to believe that. It's hard to say that's really what it means. According to the Rosh, there is no such mitzvah. The Gemara never told us this. The Pasha says it's only a minute to go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur. So to say that's pshat, the Pesuk in Chumash, the Mishnah should have told us, there should have been a Torah. Someone should have told us that's what lifnei Hashem titaru means. So what else can it mean? If it's not b'loshem tzivui, it's not b'loshem tara b'mikvah, what other possible meaning could lifnei Hashem titaru have? So Ben Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that lifnei Hashem titaru means there's a mitzvah to be mitar oneself in terms of mitar oneself from one's chatoim. How is one mitar oneself from chatoim? By doing tshuva. That the whole process of tshuva is compared to a tahara process. That's what the Rambam describes. His famous marshal, the Rambam writes, when a person wants to do tshuva, and a person is being chayzim with tshuva, chayzim with tshuva, chayzim with tshuva, but at the same time that he's being chayzim with tshuva, he's still continuing his averas. So the Rambam writes, that's the marshal of a tovu v'sharis biyadoi. If a person goes to the mikvah and they're still holding on to the dead mouse, so that's considered to be a that's ma'akev in the tevila. the tefillah is not going to be effective. So the Rambam gives the same mashal of the tshuva. The Rambam writes that if a person is doing tshuva, he's being chayz with tshuva, but he's still being chayt at the same time. He's clapping al chayt shevatos mech b'loshin hara. And in between, when the chazan's doing, everyone's doing na 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 na. So the guy turns around to his neighbor and said, that chazan is off key. So as he's saying loshin hara, as he's being chayz with tshuva loshin hara, as he's clapping loshin hara for late sunrise, he's telling a good joke. As he's, you know, a person could be terrible with Shabbos, but yeah, though, that's not going to be affected. Just a special Shabbos, I was sitting and learning, and my son, Mary Yaakov, was learning something else. He was learning from a Kama, So he asked me, what are the 8 Shratzim in the Torah? I said, what's up to Baba Kama? So he's on the Sugya and Daf Dalet, where the Gemara quotes a Metame, Tara Shel Chavero. So Rashi says, a Metame, a person who takes a Sheretz, and Rashi says, a Shmona Shratzim Murba Torah. So he asked me, what are the Shmona Shratzim? So I said, let's get up a Chumash and start reading through the Shmona Shratzim. So he asked me, what's a Chumash, what's a Tzav? I said, I don't know what these things are. So he said, look in the English. He says, look in the English. So the English says in each one, he says, we don't know what this is, we don't know what that is, we don't know what this is, and that is. So we have to look at the English for us. So he said, anyway, whatever it is. So it says this is the type of of a lizard, and this is another type of lizard, and another type of lizard. This is a hedgehog, and this is a groundhopper, and this is a that. So I said, all these are all things we have in our backyard. I said, we have a lot of things running around the backyard in Brookenfield. We're not sure what any of them are. So probably some of them are from the Shmonish Rots. Anyway, so if a person is a type of a Shiraz Biyadis, that's the Ikov in the Tara. So the Rambam says, Shuv is a type of a Tara, that's going to be an Ikov in the Shuv as well. So comes Rabbi Yonah and says, that's what the mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem to Torah means, that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So according to Rabbi Yonah, you see that there's a special idea of tshuva, not Rosh Hashanah, not Sesma tshuva, but on Yom Kippur itself, there's a special mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem to Torah. According to Rabbi Yonah, there's a mitzvah of tshuva all year long also. The mitzvah of tshuva all year long is learned out from other psukim. Either it's learned out from the pasuk in Parshas Nosov, Yisvatu Eschatosa Mashiasu, the Torah says, "V'sfata shechot olam." When a person brings certain kabanos, so the Torah says they have to do vidui. So the Rambam writes in Uchas Tshuva, that's the malka for the mitzvah of tshuva. When a person wants to get, whenever you want to get a kapara, so you have to do vidui. So kol, when you bring a carbon, you have to do vidui. When a person wants to do tshuva, he has to do vidui. So the Rambam quotes that pasuk as the malka for tshuva. The Ramban and our Torah has a different pasuk for the malka for tshuva. The Ramban writes, "Ki a mitzvah zoi sasher noich mitzav chayom." That's the mitzvah of tshuva. So there are different makaris for tshuva, none of them have anything to do with Yom Kippur. The mitzvah of tshuva is all year long, 24/7. Whenever a person is chayte, they're mechuyev to do tshuva. So Rabbi Yonah is saying, above and beyond the regular din of tshuva, the din klali of tshuva all year long, there's a din prati of tshuva, and that's a din prati, it's dafka on Yom Kippur. That's the mitzvah of lifnei Hashem titarum. But if one looks at the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, one doesn't get that impression. The Rambam spent 10 parochim teaching you all about Tshuva, how you do Tshuva, when you do Tshuva, what is Tshuva, and nowhere in those halachas that the Rambam say that there's a special mitzvah there. I said to do Tshuva dafka on Yom Kippur. The Rambam doesn't quote the Lifnei Hashem Torah of Rabbeinu Yonah. So you get the impression from the Rambam that there is no special, unique mitzvah of Tshuva on Yom Kippur above and beyond any other day. Even though the Rambam doesn't say there's a special mitzvah, there's a chiyuv, but there is chiyuv to the tshuva on Yom Kippur. The Rambam does refer to the fact that tshuva is a very good idea on Yom Kippur. The Rambam writes that Yom Kippur is kate slicha l'chol Yisrael. The Rambam writes that we know that Yom Kippur is a time of kapara. That's what the name is called Yom Kippur for. So it's a time of slicha b'chiyuv kapara. So the Rambam says you would be a fool for not doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. He said it's such a good chance, you have the best shot, the Rambam is right there, and he's promising you that it'll be so easy to accept your tshuva. The Gemara says that Dirush Hashem B'Motzai, that you have 10 days a year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you such an opportunity to do tshuva. So the Rambam says, if you don't take advantage of it, you're a fool. Not that you're mechuyev to. You want to, if you're a real brisk, a real lamdan, and say, am I mechuyev? Is there a special chiyev? I only do chiyuvim. So, Zokh Tantar Yom Tzuru Yelacha Mishtate, I have to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. Torah says, I got to blow, I got to blow. Torah says, I got to fast in Yom Kippur, I fast in Yom Kippur. Torah says, Shake a Luv on Sukkot. Whatever the Torah says, but Torah is chiyuv, I do. So does it say b'tar eschiv I have to do tshuva? So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it does. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's like shaking a luv on sukkos. It's like eating matzah and pesach. Lift Hashem to taru. There's a mitzvah shuvin v'idei and Yom Kippur. According to the Rambam, it's not true. According to the Rambam, it's no more no less of a mitzvah than the rest of the year. But you got to be a moron for not doing it in Yom Kippur, the Rambam says, because it's van kates aslich l'chol Yisrael. So it pays. It's worth your while to do it. But Rambam, one could suggest that even according to the Rambam, that there's no mitzvah practice of doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. It's more than just worth your while. It's more than just it's a good investment. there's something wrong with not doing tshuva in Yom Kippur. A person who's not chayzi b'tshuva on a regular Tuesday in the middle of the December, okay, so chaval, he lost out the opportunity to be chayzi b'tshuva. But a person who doesn't take advantage of these days culminating with Yom Kippurim, he's not chayzi b'tshuva, so then that's considered to be something which is very profoundly negative. It's not just that, it's not like a tshuva every other day. It's not Rabbeinu Yonah's lumdus that lifnei Hashem the Torah is a mechayiv. But the Rambam is formulating in a different way. The Rambam is saying it's the opportunity of tshuva is gufa considered to be a type of a mechayev. What does that mean? So the Rambam writes in the Chashuva that, quoting the Gemara in Maseches Hashanah in the first parak, that a person is nidal if he rov myself, so that a Kodesh Baruch makes a cheshbin as to which mitzvahs a person does, what averus a person does, and the Rambam elaborates upon the fact that nobody can know ultimately what the cheshbon is, because you can have one mitzvah that's worth a lot of averus, one averus worth a lot of mitzvahs. So if you think you're going to keep a sheet, a scorecard, as okay, I did a few mitzvahs, did a few averus today, okay, I did a couple of mitzvahs, I came to shiur on time today, I actually paid attention in shiur today, okay, so that's a couple of three checks over there, I made a bracha, I benched, I washed the tzitzit, okay, I killed somebody in the afternoon, and I was over at Zara last night, and okay, pretty good, still 3 or 2, not bad. No, it doesn't work that way. There are some mitzvahs, there are some averus that offset a lot of mitzvahs. You have some mitzvahs that could really offset a lot of averus. So the Rambam says that don't try to keep math, don't try to keep score. So the problem was, when I was younger, no one ever told me that Rambam. Someone must have told me that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that a person has to always keep a cheshbon about mitzvahs and averus. But they never told me what the Rambam says, that you're never going to figure out how to make this cheshbon. So I was a little kid. So I remember one year, maybe the rabbi gave a drasha in Rosh Hashanah. He said, quoted the first half of the story, that everyone should view themselves as, you know, you have to keep tally of your mitzvahs. So I decided, okay, I'll keep tally of my mitzvahs. So I must have been, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. So I was keeping tally of my mitzvahs, but I didn't really know what mitzvahs were at the time. So I wasn't sure how to keep tally. So I remember I davened, I must have counted that as one mitzvah. Then I davened and made a bracha, I made another mitzvah, okay. So I probably got into a fight with a kid in school, okay. I talked very disrespectful to a teacher, so whatever it was. I had a pretty good idea, you know, like what were mitzvah, what are various. But I remember there was one particular mitzvah that for some reason I was convinced was a mitzvah. I was under the impression that kissing a mezuzah is considered to be a mitzvah when you walk through the door. So I remember there was one time when I was a little bit low on the tally that day, that I must have got into a bunch of fights that day in school. So I was down, I didn't want to go to sleep that night knowing that I did more averus than mitzvahs. So I walked in and out of the door, in and out of it. It's a 9-year-old kid. Anyway, so if someone would have told me the Rambam, I could have gone to sleep that night. So the bottom line is, what I say, is that the Rambam tells us that a person has to view themselves as being mech tzezakah, mech tzechayev. Then the Rambam quotes also in the Gemara, you have to view your whole town, your whole city as being mech tzezakah, mech tzechayev. You have to view the whole world as being mech tzezakah, mech tzechayev. And you never know who's going to tip the balance. You never know, one mitzvah that you do may save the entire world. Well, one aver that you do, chalila, may tip the whole world into the balance, into the red. So you never know. You have to take each and every mitzvah, each and every aver so seriously. So the Rambam then goes on to say, quoting again from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that when the Gimel Svarim Liftachim Rosh Hashanah, that the Rebbeinu Shlom opens up the 3 Svarim in Rosh Hashanah, the Svarim of the Tzadikim, the Svarim of the Rishayim, the Svarim of the Beinayim. So when the Svarim of the Tzadikim, it's opened up on Rosh Hashanah, and they don't need Yom Kippurim, they don't need Aser HaSimei Tshuva. The Tzadikim and Echtomim, the Alta L'chaim Tovim, that they're written and sealed and so forth, it's done. Rosh Hashanah comes, so the Tzadikim are finished already. They're ready in the Sifra Chaim. Whatever Sifra Chaim means, different opinions. In the Mishan, does it mean Chayel Mazeh, Chayel Abad? Does it mean all the brachas and Moros Batayr in contrast to the Klal? Whatever Chayim means, but the Gemara says that the Chayim are Sifrei Tzadikim, the Tzadikim are Nechtavim and Nechtavim immediately in Rosh Hashanah. And for that matter also, the Rishayim are also Nechtavim and Nechtavim Lamisa, that for them Rosh Hashanah is also over. So for Pashas, for 2 out of 3 categories, there's no need for Aseres Mechuvah. So why do we make a whole fuss for Aseres Mechuvah for? So the Gemara says for everybody in the middle, for the Beinonim. So the Beinonim, the Rebbeinu Shalom keeps the books open for 10 days, and then it gives you a chance to be to work out the cheshbon to be able to get into the better book. So that's why Aseres Mechuvah was for the Yom Kippur, the whole Aseres Mechuvah, the whole Yom Kippur, the whole getting up at 5 in the morning for Slichas, you have to rush out, the whole thing is for the Beinonim. But then the Rambam says that we assume that we're all Beinonim, and it's hard to know who's a Beinonim, who's a Tzaddik, who's a Rasha. So we want to err on the side of caution. So you don't want to come to the Olam HaEmes and realize that you were one of the Beinonim and you didn't take advantage of Aseres Mechuvah. So we all take advantage of the Aseres Mechuvah, because you never know, maybe we're Taka Beinonim. And then the Rambam says, and don't think you're just going to add up your mitzvahs and averus and you're going to come up to a cheshbon who you are. No, you never know. You never know who's a Beni, who's a Tzaddik, who's a Rasha. That's why we have a minhag that we always assume that our friends are tzaddikim. We're supposed to be nervous about ourselves, that maybe we're not tzaddikim. But we're supposed to assume the mitzvah of Dan Lechavzchus requires of us to look at everybody else, that they're tzaddikim. That's why most of us have the custom that when we give a bracha to someone in Rosh Hashanah, so we say, L'shana tova tikasa v'sechosem, v'yal t'chaim v'toyim l'shalom. Why do we say that? Because we're assuming that the other guy is a tzaddik. So if we just say to the guy, L'shana tova tikasev, some have a minute to say, if you just say L'shana tova tikasev, so then you're not really not sure what the other guy is. You're not saying necessarily that he's a tzaddik. So we want to make sure that we're machzik. The other person is a tzaddik. So we say to the other guy, L'shana tova tikasev, L'shichasev. But for us, we're shaking. We're tittering the whole Seres Metshuva. Because maybe we're not nechasev yet. Maybe we weren't nechtomim l'chai olam haba, l'chayim yet. So we don't know. So a couple of get back to the story. So the Rambam writes, you have a guy on Rosh Hashanah. So he's necht of, he's in a Sefer Beinayim. So we're not sure, the Rosh Hashanah is trying to determine what to do with him. To be determined. Like the course in NYU that never, you don't know. Let's say, to be, TBD, to be determined. Okay. Used to be the joke in the yeshiva. It's the most famous Rebbe in the yeshiva. The most popular Rebbe was Rabbi Unassigned. So TBD, to be determined. So the person is put into the to be determined book. So now comes the whole week of Seres Metshuvah, and the Rambam writes that now he's on trial for the whole week. So the Rambam writes that if he's Chayze Metshuvah, Matoiv, and if he's not Chayze Metshuvah, then it's finished, then he's done, then he's going to be back into the Sefer HaRishoyim. That's how the Rambam formulates it in the Chas Tshuvah. So the famous kasha that all the Acharonim ask in the Rambam is that, what do you mean that if he's not Chayze Metshuvah, he's going to be Nechtam Lamisa? The Rambam just got finished saying that the only reason why the guy ended up in this Sifri baiting him in the first place is because he was 50-50. If he could tilt the balance to become 51-49, so he'll win the election, he'll win everything. As long as he's one mitzvah over the top, then he's going to be nechtav in the Sifri Achayim. So why does he have to be Chayze B'tshuva? Why doesn't the guy make the following Chayze? He'll say, listen, Tshuva is too hard mitzvah for me to do, but I'll do one mitzvah. I'll kiss the mitzvah one time over the next week. I'll do one more mitzvah. I'll be very careful. I won't do any Averis. I'll do one mitzvah. I'll learn one morning for 10 minutes and call it a day. And I'll tilt the balance. When the Rebbe Shem reopens the books in Yom Kippur, I'll already be in the Sifrei HaChayim. So the Rambam sounds like that's not an option. The Rambam says the only option that you could do possibly during the week of Aseres Metshuva to tilt the balance is only if you're Chayze B'tshuva. Why is that? He said, if the whole reason why I got there in the first place is because I'm only a Beinoni, as long as I'm Ois Beinoni, as long as I'm Vatal Hashem Beinoni, I become a Tzaddik, so I could do it, become a Tzaddik by doing more mitzvahs. So why do I have to do the mitzvah Tshuva? What's wrong with that? There are no other mitzvahs in the Torah except for Tshuva. I'll sit and learn 24 hours for the next 7 days. That's not enough mitzvah. It's a very big mitzvah. So why do I have to be Chayze B'tshuva? So there's a famous word from Rav Itzala. So Itzla Petterberger suggested that the pshat in the Rambam is as follows, that the Rambam just got finished telling us that we don't know what the schar of any particular mitzvah is, we don't know what the schar of any particular aver is, and we don't know the cheshbon. Only the Rebbe Hashem knows the cheshbon. So the Rambam says you could have one chet that outweighs many, many, many averis, and sometimes it outweighs many, many, many mitzvahs. So Itzla said that if a person comes here, we can have a series of mitzvah, and he's not Chayze B'tshuva, that chait of not being Chayze B'tshuva is so profound, is so powerful, there is nothing you could possibly do during the week of Aseres Metshuva. Al chumras, that you spend the whole week being nizer from Pasachim, you spend the whole week saying slichas for 3 hours a morning, and you give thousands of dollars to tzedakah, and you shachal shmoneh esrei for hours and hours on end, and you sit in the beis medrash, you're on balayla, you do all the chesed of the world, but you weren't Chayze B'tshuva, there's nothing you could possibly do to offset that. That's such a bittul a mitzvah, that's such a chait, such a chumras a iser, not to be Chayze B'tshuva during Aseres Metshuva, that the Rambam says by definition you can never get out of the rut, you will never make it out of the Sifrei HaBeinonim unless you're Chayze B'tshuva. It's impossible to do any mitzvah in the world that could offset that. And why is that? What is so terrible about not being Chayze B'tshuva? If I'm not Chayze B'tshuva in the middle of December, so I did some things, I wasn't Chayze B'tshuva, there's a chiv, every time I do a chait, I have to be Chayze B'tshuva. Okay, so I'm mechuyav to do a lot of mitzvahs. So I'll put on tefillin that day. So I get one mitzvah putting on tefillin and I lose 1 point for not doing tshuva. I'll put on tefillin, shayala, get 1 point, shayarosh, 2 points. So I'm 2-1. So I won the game. Might have to be the end of the day. What's the difference whether I win the game 2-1? But when you get to the standings, so is there any difference on nafkamina ladina whether you won the game by a score of 2-1 or whether you won this game by a score of 22-9? At any point, does it really make a difference? Right? So you hit another grand slam, another grand slam, another grand slam. So you have three grand slams. So it makes a difference. You would hit another 14. 14 grand slams. It would have made any difference to the Yankees. My nafkamina, at the end of the day, it's one win. That's it. Get one win in the win column. That's it, no matter how many points. It's like hockey, you know? Is hockey still like that? They changed the rules. No, there used to be something about you get... Don't you get used to get certain points depending on how many points you win the game for? They still have that?
If it's overtime, you...
Only overtime you get more?
Well,
there used to be something, I remember, there used to be some very... I never figured out how to score hockey games. It was always very complicated. But in baseball, my nafkamina, whether you win by 1 point or whether you win by one run or by 1,000 runs. So to over here... It's not enough, Zachter Bitzla, Vidasa Rambam. It's not enough just to win. You can't just do one more mitzvah. No, all year long, so not doing tshuva is one of them. Okay, so you didn't do tshuva, but yeah, I put on tefillin for Yalan Sharos, so I went to the one. But the not doing tshuva during Maseiros Mitzvah is so profound that it offsets all possibilities of any other mitzvahs. Why is that? So the Chayra, even if Rabbi Yoin is not accepted, even if there's no mitzvah for the atzma of tshuva, the not doing tshuva at a time when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you the opportunity to do tshuva, ain lecha a bizayin hashchina gadol mizeh. There's no greater slap in the face kaviyachal. There's no greater chutzpah to the Ribbono Shel Olam than not to take his hand. The Ribbono Shel Olam is extending you a hand, and I'm turning away from that hand. All year long, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not extending me the hands. I got to take the initiative. I got to be chayz b'tshuva. Okay, it's a nice thing. You should be chayz b'tshuva. I should do a lot of nice things. I should learn. I say kriyish mashadav. I should put on tefillin. I should kiss mezuzah. I should do a lot of things. If I didn't do it, I didn't do it. So it's one bit of a mitzvah. But not to be chayz b'tshuva, John. I say it's b'tshuva. The not doing the tshuva is that's gufa aveira, and it's aveira she'ef shalosakim. You can never correct, you can never offset that aveira, because to turn the Rebbe, when the Rebbe Shlomo is presenting himself, and for you to turn away from him, ain lucha bitl abizayin ashchina galam izah. That's what the Mefarshim point out. Perhaps that's the reason why we find in the Psukim, even the Psukim in Chumash, we find two parashios in Sefer Devarim that at first glance seem almost to be identical. One is the parasha, the beginning of parashas for A, and one is in parashas Nitzavim. So in parashas, it's funny, Meryakov, now if there's my mitzvah, so he decided he wants to lane. He wants to get into laning, he likes laning. So they have a early mincha in Ashul now, which the kids, the Shorish mincha, so the kids run the mincha. Who's there? Who down the Shabbos? The guys? So the kids take turns laning. Fine, so he got all excited, so he signed up to lane. So he signed up to lay in Pashas Nitzavim for Mincha. So then he took a look at it yesterday. He said, well, I can be my mitzvah Pashas Nitzavim. I said, if you lay in Sheni Pashas Nitzavim, you lay until Sheni, you lay in the entire Pasha ready. So okay, no. So he's got a lot of work cut out from this week. So. He called me last night. I was in the Beis Medrash, and he called me last night. He said he just wanted to make sure that it was really as long as he thought it was. I said, yeah, it's exactly as long as he thought it was. Alright, so in Parshas Nitzavim, if the Shani, Parshas Nitzavim, so the Torah says, Re'ei Nasat Efanecha Hayom Sechayim V'yasato V'yasamavis V'yasara. So in the beginning of Parshas Re'ei, it also said, Re'ei Anochi Nasein Lefnechem Hayom, Baruch Hu Klala. So it starts off as Baruch Hu Klala, and then four Parshas later it becomes Chayim V'yamavis. It's the same thing. A Baruch Hu Klala, what's the Baruch? The Baruch is a Shetishmo Mitzvah Hashem Lekechem, and what's the Klala? If you don't listen, and then Nochamol in Parshas Nitzavim, it says, I'm giving you Chayim, what do you get Chayim for? If you listen, and you get Mavis, if you don't listen. So it's the same thing. So we're talking about the same Bris, talking about the same Mitzvah, talking about the same Aveiros, the same Re'ei. So how come the beginning of Parshas Re'ei, it's B'teres Baruch Hu Klala, and the end of Parshas Nitzavim, it's B'geder Chayim Mavis. So what changed from the beginning to the end? So come to Mefarshim, explain what changed. There was a dramatic change that took place. There was a dramatic change in terms of Psukim, and there's a dramatic change in terms of when the parasha is going to be read. So in terms of Psukim, there's a parasha that immediately precedes that parasha of Chayim V'Moves. What is that parasha? Ki ha-mitzvah zayis ha-shanoichi mitzav chayim, the mitzvah of tshuva. Or even if you don't accept the Ramban, that even if you hold that pasuk is not talking about tshuva per se, the pesukim before speak about tshuva. V'shafta d'Hashem l'kecha, the Torah tells us that you have the koyach of doing tshuva. So the Torah just gave us a mitzvah of tshuva. So now the Rebbeinu Shalom turns around to us, comes to Moshe Rabbeinu in his last days, and he says to Klal Yisrael, 4 weeks ago, I told you, always the same day, but four weeks ago when you read Parshas Re'ei, I told you, you better do mitzvahs. And if you don't do mitzvahs, it's going to be closed. And if you do mitzvahs, you're going to get brachas. But you didn't have the opportunity for tshuva yet. It wasn't as chadash yet, the din of tshuva. But now that I was mechadish to you, the din of tshuva, now that the Rebbe Shalom is coming and is not just asking you to be chay, not just asking you to do mitzvahs on your own, but he's standing there and he's extending a hand to you, and you don't take that hand, you're not going to greet him, you're not going to respond to him. So the lack of doing tshuva, that's the mechayev, that what used to be merely a bracha is now a kalola. What used to be merely a chayim is now, what used to be merely a, sorry, what used to be a bracha is now a chayim. What used to be a kalola is now a misa. Now the stakes are much greater. So tshuva is a tremendous opportunity. Tshuva is a great thing, but like all other great opportunities, it carries with it a price tag. The price tag for tshuva is if a person doesn't do it. So it's a unbelievable opportunity the Rebbe Hashem is giving us. But whenever you have a great opportunity, if an opportunity never comes my way, so I never came my way. But if it came my way and I rejected it, so that's terrible. So by rejecting that wonderful opportunity, so that's not a terrible thing. So that's why the beginning of Parshas Re'eh is transformed to the end of Parshas Nitzavim, because there's a mitzvah tshuva that came in the middle. And not only is that true in terms of the reading of the Pesukim, but the way where Keveya, where our Kriyas HaTorah always is. So even though Medina the Gemara, you don't have to have Kriyas HaTorah the way we have it. Gemara says that the Eretz Yisrael used to lay it every 3 years, so you had different parishes fell out at different times, but already for 1,500 years we've been laying it this way. So the way Akrias HaTorah falls out, so these messages of Parshas Re'eh and Parshas Kisavim make a lot of sense, not just in terms of Pesukim, they make sense in terms of the time of the year as well. Parshas Re'eh is always read before Shechana Shalom. So before Shechana Shalom, you know, if things are relaxed, you know, the stakes aren't so high, we're still in camp, we're still on vacation, we're still running around Ben Hazman, and you know, everyone's in a happy mood. So the Torah says, oh yeah, by the way, don't forget, yeshiva's about to start, it's going to be Elul soon, it's time to get ready, get rolling soon. There's bracha, there's klali, and we better start doing the mitzvahs. Okay, yeah, good, very nice, thank you very much. Okay, we read Parshas Re'eh, we go back to our Tehillim and fight. Comes 4 weeks late, and all of a sudden we're reading Parshas Nitzavim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. You always lay Nitzavim, Yelech HaZotot, back before Rosh Hashanah. So now I'm reading the same Sukkim, but now I'm reading it with much more seriousness. Why? Because I just had a month of tshuva. I've been saying the Levin Hashem Ari for a month. I've been hearing Shari for a month. Already the tshuva process has begun. And now those same Sukkim that a month ago were just a good opportunity. You know, it's nice. Brachas and kolos. Stay away from kolos, run after brachas. Now the stakes are much higher. Now what used to be a bracha is now a chayim. What used to be a kol is now a misa. So this is all the same idea that Ravitzla is saying with Dasa Rambam, that the tshuva of this time can culminate with Yom Kippur, but leading up to Yom Kippur, a guy comes to Yom Kippur without having the whole prerequisite, so without taking the tshuva 101, without doing Chodesh Elul, without doing Rosh Hashanah, without doing Aseres Metshuva, he just pops in, here I am, Baruch HaBufa Kol Nidrei, so it's going to be hard for him to do all of these things. So this whole time of year, these whole 40 days of Elul and Aseres Metshuva, so this is the time of tshuva, and if a person doesn't take advantage of these days, so it's not like not taking advantage of Chedesh Kislev. You didn't do tshuva in Chedesh Kislev, okay, the world will come to an end. But you don't do tshuva in Chedesh Elul, you don't take advantage of Chedesh Elul, you don't take advantage when the Rebbeinu Shlom is getting closer and closer and closer to us, so that the chumras ha-chayt for that is something which is the Yevshel HaSakein. That's what the Rambam says, that if you have chayt v'tshuva, says v'tshuva, there's nothing you can possibly do to offset that loss. So yes, according to the Rambam, is there a mitzvah tshuva in Yom Kippur? Is there a nice mitzvah tshuva in Yom Kippur? Is that din prati? Is it one of the mitzvahs hayoyim in the sense of you have to shake a lulav on Sukkot, you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you have to eat matzah on Pesach? Is there a mitzvah hayoyim of lifting Hashem to Taru? The Rambam doesn't say that. But Ben Yoni says the Rambam doesn't say that. But according to the Rambam, it's more than just a mitzvah hayoyim. It's more profound, because a lack of doing it undermines the entire day and undermines the entire period, and ultimately is the greatest bittul of tshuva that's possible. So that's the first one we say with tshuva. So tshuva means tshuva or yalum. Tshuva of an asarateka means the special unique din of tshuva of this particular time of the year. Now you move on to tefillah. So tefillah is something that we're familiar with all year long. It's mitzvah tefillah the entire year. What is the special mitzvah tefillah this time of the year? There's a special tefillah of Aseres Metshuva, there's a special tefillah of Elul, a special tefillah of Asher Yom Kippur. What is the special kim of tefillah of this time of year? So there is a famous machlekes Rishonim about what the mitzvah of tefillah is all about on the level of the Araisa. The Gemara is a drasha in Maseches Tainus and Abayis. Well, the avda b'chol levavchem, the pasuk in Kriyas Shema, eizu avodah shi b'chol b'lev, avi omer zu tefillah. So you have to be oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol lev, and what avodah is b'chol lev? That refers to davening. So the Rambam in the beginning of the tefillah writes that this is a din min haTorah. The person has to daven midiraisa. There's a mitzvah tefillah midiraisa. How much does a person daven? How often does he daven? What nusach does he use? Torah doesn't say. So the Rambam writes, that min haTorah, there is no time, and there's no place, and there's no shir, and there's no words. Whatever you want to daven, you daven. So the person wants to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he's mechuyav to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom. How often do you have to do this? So the Rambam writes once a day. How did the Rambam know that? So the Rambam seemed to understand that you have a mitzvah, stam mitzvah in the Torah, and the Torah doesn't give us a shir, doesn't give us a time when to do it. It's not like Kiddush. Kiddush, the Torah says, Zochas Yom Shabbos. You make Kiddush in Shabbos. Well, Kachta Mechem Yom Rishon, you shake a little of Ansukis. Yom Tshuva Yelochem and Rosh Hashanah. Some mitzvahs, the Torah gives us a specific time. And other mitzvahs, the Torah is very, very vague. So it becomes unclear. So you have a lot of mitzvahs like that. So the Torah we just read in Parashas Kisetze, the Torah says, Zochas, Zechiris HaMolek. How often do you have to have Zechiris HaMolek? I don't know. It doesn't say how often you have to do it. So that's what the Sefer Chinuch writes, maybe once in a lifetime. It's like writing a Sefer Torah. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah every day. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah every year. You write once in a lifetime, and you'd say, so the Sefer Chinuch writes, maybe you have to write once, you have to say Parsha Zoch once in a lifetime. So Taizim the Rosh, in Maseches Megillah, Maseches Brachas, right? Know that the mitzvah of Zohar is once a year. Why is that? My high, where did that come from? So that's what the Acharonim explained, because the Torah says, Zohar lo sishkach. The Torah says that the purpose of Zohar is to enable, make sure you don't forget. So we know Chazal tell us, Shir Shicha Yid Beis Chodesh, that a person intends to forget things after a year. That's why the Gemara says, based on Shir Shicha Yid Beis Chodesh, that's why there's a bit of a veilus for a whole year, because when a person's memory of a parent is fresh in one's mind, so it would be inappropriate for the person to be doing things which would be antithetical to the idea of a veilus. It's already after a year, so the memory is not so fresh, so it's not considered to be such a bizoyna of the parent. The parent just died a few months ago, and the person's supposed to be thinking about the parent, and he's dancing at a wedding, so that's a steer to keep it up. That's why Chazal will masakin and interview Beis Chodesh. But that only makes sense, because the memory's fresh. When it's no longer so fresh anymore, Shir Shicha Yid Beis Chodesh, that's not considered to be such a bizoyna of the parent. So there's a Shia of Shia Shicha Yid Beis Chodesh. So that's what the Rosh Tosfos seems to be saying. That's why Zechiris HaMolek is different. Zechiris HaMolek, which is a mitzvah of Losishkach, so that once a year is good enough for that. Well, you know, just have to remember HaMolek once a year. So I had an interesting shayla. I asked Mary Yaakov on Shabbos the afternoon. I said, you know, you just heard Parsha Zohar for the first time in your life. I said, because you heard Parsha Zohar last year, you were under the age of Bar Mitzvah. So when you become Bar Mitzvah, you become a chuyv in all mitzvahs of Torah. So you technically became a chuyv in the mitzvah of Zechiris HaMolek on the day of your Bar Mitzvah. So the Chora, you should try mitzvah bol yad chatach mitzena. It's the reason we're doing the mitzvah, so you should try to fulfill that mitzvah the first time possible. So according to some, you need a minyan, a sefer Torah, you need a brach, you know the whole story. So I can't just, we don't find that a bar mitzvah boy to go run, the first minute becomes a mitzvah to go, immediately go run, read Parsha Zohar. You don't find such a chumrah. Maybe somewhere says it, but I never heard such a chumrah. So usually most people don't do that. So I said, but here, they're reading Parsha Zohar anyway. So I said, and you already became a mitzvah. I was Yotze Mechiv already last year. So Lo Sishkach tells me that I'm allowed to wait around for another 6 months. I'm not running through here Parsha Zohar again, because I already heard it 6 months ago. And I got another 6 months to Lo Sishkach. But for you, you never heard it yet. So if you never heard it, so then maybe you're Mechiv through here Parsha Zohar right now. Or maybe you can argue, no, maybe you can argue that you're not Mechiv in it yet. Why? Because even though you were a Katan when you heard it, but you still heard it, Lamaisa. So even though you weren't yaitz to the mitzvah, it was enough to create, it prevents shichacha. So you only become a chuyv in Parsha Zohar once you're about to pass the time of Shir Shichach Yud Beis Chodesh. So a zechiras amolik that you heard b'shas katnuso, you weren't yaitz to the mitzvah, but you're not meschayev yet until the year passes from the last time that you heard it in shul. So I wasn't sure. No. So I didn't tell him. What? Yeah, something like that, right. So I said to him, I didn't tell him in the morning, I told him after lunch, so I said to him, because I don't want to drive him crazy, so I said, I don't think they make a klop on the bimu and the lane Pashas Kisei, I'd say, any katan who's misgadol in the last 12 months should have in mind to be Yetzi Pashas Zohar. I never heard of such an announcement, so Mastami not Mechifta. I drove him crazy enough the first morning when he was Bar Mitzvah. He was born at a quarter to six in the morning. So there's a machlekes the poskim whether you become a mitzvah me'es li'es or whether you become a mitzvah the night before tzeis kichavim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes like the Magen Avraham, and it'd be the regular standard, all the regular Acharonim hold, you become a mitzvah tzeis kichavim. It's, whenever your Hebrew birthday is, that's when you become a mitzvah that night and shine, and that's it. Finish, you know? But there's one day in Acharonim that says that you only become a mitzvah the time me'es li'es, exactly to the second when you were born. So according to Elz Acharonim, there's a whole famous chumrah that some have, is that they'll wake their boy up, let's say the kid was by mitzvah at Let's say the kid was born at 1 o'clock in the morning. So the kid said Kriyashma, the Dav is Meir at 9 o'clock at night, so he wasn't technically, you would say, Kriyashma yet. So the Samach Rav have a Chumr, Briska Rav, it's a practice to wake up his Bar Mitzvah boys at 1 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was, whenever the Mies Lies was, he would wake him up to say Kriyashma. Or let's say if a kid was born in the daytime, let's say he's born 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so when he put on tefillin at 8 o'clock in the morning, he wasn't really Bar Mitzvah, he should put on tefillin again at Mincha, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after Mies Lies, in order to satisfy that affinity. That's a Chumr Rav Yamut, that's not me credit. So Mayakov was born at 5:45. So at 5:45 was a few minutes before Neitz Achama. So I was wondering, I said, the din is you could still be Yaitse Kriyash Mashal Arvis, technically speaking, until Neitz Achama, the Gemara Bracha says. So he davened Meirev, we davened the night before at 10 o'clock at night, Meirev, but he may not have been Yaitse Kriyashma yet. So I told him he's got to get up at 5:45 in order to say Kriyashma shall Arvis. But Nate's was 5:53. He was born at 5:45, and Nate's was 5:53. So he has an 8-minute window of opportunity to be Yaitse Kriyashma shall Arvis. But what was my suffix? My suffix was not to wake him. My suffix was he was born in America, and we were in Eretz Yisrael. So if you follow me, Yaitse, so it was it's a different race lace. So I asked Rabbi Shechter in Eretz Yisrael, I asked him, I said, assuming that Chumr is true, that you follow Mies Lies, I said, do you now have to extrapolate the Mies Lies of America, or do you all of a sudden you plug in the Mies Lies of Eretz Yisrael? So he thought you follow wherever you are. He said, if he was born at 5:45 in New York, so now he becomes Bar Mitzvah at 5:45 in Eretz Yisrael. That's Rabbi Shechter thought. He thought it was a double push like that. I thought maybe not, but he thought like that. So it's a vatal daiti for this Chumr, a vatal daiti to... So we had 8 minutes. So I woke him up at 5:45. I told him to say Birch Satara quickly. And then he had a shot about saying it again afterwards. Okay, whatever. So I say Birch Satara quickly, and then say Kriyashma. So Kachav, and then I told him go back to sleep for another hour. I'll wake you up for Shabbos. So I'm shy. Anyway, so I figured I'd leave him alone with the Pasha Zohar. So getting back to this story, what was I talking about? I forgot. Oh yeah, back to the Rambam. So the Rambam writes that you have to daven every day, once a day, every day you have to daven. Once a day, every day, you have to daven a little bit, and that's the mitzvah of Avdo B'chol Levavchem. Then the Rabbanon, when Misakein, you should daven 3 times a day, and you should daven Nesach Shemoneh Esrei, you should daven all the details, and whatever tefillahs that we daven, but the basic Ikar mitzvah min haTorah of tefillah, according to the Rambam, is just to daven a little bit once a day, every day. That's how the Rambam learns from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that women are chiyavos in tefillah. So the Rambam asks, why are women chiyavos in tefillah? It's a zman grama. It can only daven in shachris time, mincha time, ma'ariv time. So it's a zman grama. So why are women chayavos? So the Rambam might say, right, they're not chayavos. They're not chayavos in Shemoneh Esrei. The Rambam says, they're only chayavos in the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, which is not a zman grama. So that's what the Magen Avraham writes, that the women in his day in Poland, they didn't daven Shemoneh Esrei. The women, they used to daven a little tchin, a little bakar, say some perek tehillim every day. That's what it means in the Mishnah, noshim chayavos with tefillah. So most of the Rishonim don't accept that, but that's what the Rambam seems to say, that noshim chayavos with tefillah means once a day, every day, they have to daven a little bit, like men, min haTorah. So the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah takes an issue with this Rambam. The Ramban writes that the mitzvah of tefillah, min haTorah, doesn't really exist. That's not what Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem means. Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem, the Gemara says, Eizei Avadi Shemileiv Zeot Tefillah. That's a drosh, that's an asmach to the Amma. What does it really mean? What's the mitzvah Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem? So the Ramban writes that Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem means you're supposed to do mitzvahs with kavana. Means Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem is not a mitzvah in and of itself. Well, the B'chol Levavchem means that when you do mitzvahs, you do it wholeheartedly. You should do mitzvahs with a geshmach. You should do mitzvahs really, you know, with excitement, with a kavana. That's what Lo Avdu B'chol Levavchem means. But it's not a mitzvah, it's not a 613th mitzvah called davening. Then the Ramban takes a step back, and the Ramban writes, and if you want to tell me there's some kind of a mitzvah derais of tefillah, even Zalzayin the Rambam is right, some kind of a derais of tefillah, it's not every day, that's for sure not, says the Ramban. At best, even if it exists, it's only be eis tzara. When you have a shas tzara, when you have a particular need, a particular tzorech, then tefillah becomes deraisa. Where does that come from? Where do we find there's a concept called an eis tzara in halacha? That's based on the parsha of Tekiyas HaChatzotzer, it's in parsha of Ha'aloscha, when the Torah says you go out to war, B'chisavo M'chom B'yartzechem, Ha'atzara Tzoroschem, so Ha'atzara Tzoroschem means the rabbis call it Tzoros, means anytime there's a Tzara, there's a famine, there's locusts, there's an illness, whatever the big Tzara is, so there's this mitzvah of Tekiyas HaChatzotzer. So what does Tekiyas HaChatzotzer mean? So the Ramban says, Tekiyas HaChatzotzer is not just time to blow HaChatzotzer, The pasuk says beferish that the tkiyas chatzotis is liskartem lefnei Hashem lakechem. It's supposed to that you should be remembered by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's a type of a tefillah. Tkiyas chatzotis is a form of a tefillah. So the Ramban writes that that's what tefillah d'oraisa is. When it's be'ez tzara, then you can begin to discuss that being a chiyuv of tefillah d'oraisa. But a tefillah on a daily basis, that's only midirabbanan. The famous bia from the Rav. But the Rav said that there's no machlokes the Ram and the Ramban, you know, in terms of b'chus tefillah. Everybody agrees that the mechayev of tefillah is an eis tzara. That's by definition. Whenever there's a need, that's when you have to daven. The machlokes the Ram and the Ramban is how do you view life? It's a machlokes in b'chus life. According to the Rambam, every day is an eis tzara. You get up in the morning, it's an eis tzara. Who knows what's going to be? Where going to be? Who knows who's going to make it till the next day? Well, every day is, by definition, an eis tzara. And the Ramban says, no, eis tzara means unique situations. It's a regular day in life. 90% of a person's life is not an eis tzara. 90% of a person's life is routine. But every once in a while, there's an eis tzara. Someone's sick, there's a parnosa, you need a shidduch, whatever it is, that's called an eis tzara. So at the end of the day, Bein Lefi Ram, Bein Lefi Ramban, he's supposed to be davening at some point. But according to the Ram, it's every day. According to the Ramban, it's a particular a mitzvah of a tefillah b'yeis tzara. So l'chora, according to the Ramban, now we have a better understanding, perhaps, of what we mean when we scream out, "Tshuva tefillah," that there's a din of tefillah. A person has to daven, Seres Metshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Chedesh Elul. There's an idea of tefillah. This is a different kind of tefillah. The tefillah during this period of the year is not just the tefillah d'rabban. You daven a regular shacharis in the middle of the summer. That's a tefillah d'rabban according to the Ramban. But you daven now. That's an eis tzara. Why is it an eis tzara? You look at eis tzara golden mizel. Madach if you a person has a one small personal tzara, he's about to fail a test and he's davening and saying tell him quickly, saying a perka, tell him quickly before he goes to the exam. So that's today's tzara. There's a chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa. So kal v'chomer when his whole life is in the balance, everything, his life, his family, his health, the whole world, everything's in balance. So isn't that in l'cha'is tzara gadol mizo? So that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are mechayev and tefillah. They're a chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa. Even according to the Ramban, there would be a chiyuv of tefillah d'oraisa on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Perhaps this is the reason why we even find this reflects itself in the world of halacha. There is a big machlekes Rishonim about when you're davening in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of Birkas Kriyas and all these different parts of tefillah, well, usually you're not supposed to be mafsik. Why are you permitted to make new tefillahs? You're allowed to incorporate new piyutim, new poetry, all kind of new stuff into the middle of the davening. So this was a raging machlekes in the days of the Gaonim and the Rishonim about all these yitzuras and piyutim and all these different things that are added into the davening. So we know that especially in the Ashkenazi communities, there were loads of these things. You know, open up some of the old Sidurim. So a lot of the Machzorim, a lot of the Yom Tov Machzorim, so they have all the Marobuses and the Yitzhus, they have all the different things that were said in the middle of Brichas Krishma, in the middle of the Brichas Krishma in the morning and at night and everything. So you haven't seen them, right? A lot of the Machzorim have them. So my kids have all these machzorim. So they daven. So the problem is that they start to say Birchas Kriyishma, and then there are 16 pages which say that some communities say and some communities don't say. So every time he always nudges to me, so I say no, just skip it. So he skips the next 16 pages and gets the next page. And he skips the next 16 pages. So in the end, you might as well just daven with a regular siddur. It's much easier. So whatever it is. So there were different minhagim whether you say these marobuses and the ziyotzos. So these ziyotzos and these different tefillahs were said by the Balei Tais. They were said by a lot of the Rishonim. They were said on a regular Shabbosim also. They had all these different things in Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim. They had a lot of different things they were adding on. And other Rishonim were vehemently opposed to these. So we have kind of accepted, most of Klai Yisrael today has made somewhat of a compromise in terms of how we paskin on this Shaila. Do we paskin and it's appropriate to add these things, or do we say, no, you're not supposed to be mafsik with these extraneous things? So when it comes to the rest of the year, most of us do not say Yaitzis. Most of us don't say Marobis. Most of us don't make these additions to the davening. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as everybody says, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we fill so many things in. All the things that make the davening so long. What makes the davening so long? I mean, the Shemoneh Esrei is long also. But what makes the davening so long? A lot of these Yotzeris and Piyutim and things that we say. So why are we saying all these things on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? If we really hold that you shouldn't be saying them all year long, so Manishtan and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the answer is, because in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these are days of tefillah. These are the primary motif of these days. It's an ace tefillah, because it's an ace tzara. So even on a regular Shabbos, we all, it's past this, what should you, what do you have to throw another piyut in? So it's Shabbos, go finish davening, go eat, whatever, you have to add in another piyut. But on Rosh Hashanah, no, that's good, it's appropriate, it enhances the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, the more the merrier, the more piyutim, the better, because that makes the tefillah, that's more of a Yom tefillah. So the primary mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a mitzvah of tefillah, and specifically why it's a mitzvah of tefillah is because it's an Eisa, because it's an Eisa Ratzon. If I'm not mistaken, I think last year we spoke about Tekiah Shofar, about how Tekiah Shofar plays out in terms of this, no? About being a kim of tefillah. That even last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, who's been around? So we, sometime in the last couple of years, we mentioned that even the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar itself seems to be related to this idea that we just quoted from the Ramban. The Ramban says that Chatzotzreis is a kim of tefillah, as it says, B'nizkat of Neshem Lekechem. So you look at the Gufsugas in the end of the fourth parak of Hashanah, you realize that there's a very real connection between Tekiyas Chatzaitzos and Tekiyas Shofar. To such an extent, the Gemara says, even B'miktosh, they would blow them together. The Chatzaitzos were called Shofar, really for the Melech Hashem. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you blow the Chatzaitzos and the Shofar all rolled into one. That's when you're Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. When you're Chutz L'Mikdash, then you don't do that. The Gemara learns out some of the dinim of Tekiyas Shofar from Chatzaitzos. Going to one Tana, the Mokor for the Tekiyas and the Truas is from Chatzaitzos. Uskatim, Trua Sheinis, Tekiyah, Trua, Tekiyah. A lot of the dinim of Tekiyas Shofar are derived from the Chatzaitzos. So there's a connection between the two because these are both Derech Tefillahs, that the Tekiyas Shofar is a Tefillah and the Tekiyas Chatzaitzos is a Tefillah. So it makes a lot of sense that in Rosh Hashanah we should be emphasizing Tefillah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tefillah, so the Tekiyas Shofar itself gives us that, also expresses the idea of Tefillah. That's what the Rav said, that the Achronim bring a lot of rayas, that there's a Kiyam of Tefillah and Tekiyas Shofar. Rayas here, right there. So the Rav said, it's such a Davar Poshut that Tekiyas Shofar is a Chelek of Tefillah. You don't need any more rayas. It's so obvious. Why is it so obvious? He says there's no other mitzvah that we do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's a bizarre thing. Imagine we're davening Ma'ariv on Pesach night, and all of a sudden, in the middle of davening Ma'ariv, someone gives a clap and says, "Okay, everybody, sit down, pull out your matzahs, and start eating matzahs in the middle of Ma'ariv." So the guys, "We're sugar." So all of a sudden, you're in the middle of davening, Ma'ariv on Sukkot night. Everyone walk out of shul and go eat in the sukkah. Since when do we do mitzvahs in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? So in the middle of Chazor Sashat, all of a sudden we stop and do mitzvahs. Said, and here yet in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, we blow al Seder Brachas. According to many Rishonim, the Tekiyas al Seder Brachas, the Ikar Tekiyas. What kind of bizarre practice is that? In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we're blowing a shofar. So the answer is, it's not a bizarre practice. That's exactly what shofar is. Shofar is a kim of tefillah. So that's exactly where it belongs. Havdalah, we do Havdalah in the middle of tefillah. I mean, Atachar and Tanu, that's part of the Nuschat Tefillah. It's not, there it's words, we're not talking a mitzvah. I mean, it's Chazal were incorporated, whatever's Me'ein Hayom, they incorporated into the tefillah itself. So that's like Yalav Yavol, like we say if it's different Shabbos and Yontif in the tefillah. So a Kopanim, we understand that there's a mitzvah of tshuva all year long, and then there's a certain dimensions of unique tshuva, dafka this time of the year. There's a mitzvah of tefillah all year long, according to Rambam, or according to Rambam and Rabbanan, then there's a unique tefillah this time of the year because of that dimension of Eis Tzara. What about when it comes to tzedakah? So we know there's a mitzvah tzedakah all year long also. There's no question about that. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Aseres Metshuva, Chodesh Elul, so perhaps there's an added dimension of tzedakah as well. Why is that? What's the added dimension of tzedakah at this time of the year? So there is a pasuk in Kehelas, Tov Asher Lo Tidor, Mishet Tidor, V'lo Teshalem, that it's better for a person not to take a neder in the first place, and to take a neder not to pay up, not to, the guy's going to say he's going to bring a korban, and he doesn't bring it, that's bad. So there's a machlekes hatanaim, how to read pshat in that pasuk. So one time it says, Tov Hashem lo tidor, mishet tidor v'lo tishalei, means that it's better not to take a neder than to take a neder and not fulfill your neder. But what if you take a neder and you do fulfill your neder? That's the greatest, that's the highest. The pasuk is not saying not to take a neder, not to take the dorm to give karbanos. The pasuk is just saying you better not goof and take a neder and not do it. But if you take the neder and you do it, that's the greatest. That's gevaldik. That's wonderful. And the other Tana says no. Tov asher lo tidor. It's better not to take a neder. You know why? Because if you're going to get into the habit of taking the dorim, mishet tidor v'lo tishalem, because half the time you're going to forget to pay up the neder. So therefore, don't take a neder in the first place. So the machlekes is at the Rambam. What's the hierarchy? Everybody agrees that the worst case is to take a neder and not to fulfill it. That's a disaster. The question is, what's better? Is it better not to take a neder altogether, or is it better to take a neder and to fulfill it? So machlekes is at the Rambam. So the chulin of Beis and Mebeis, the Gemara quotes the whole machlekes. Remain reviewed how to learn pshat in these psukim in Kehelas. So Taisus quotes in the bottom of Beis and Beis in the Seches Chulin. Taisus says that Pemedim and Mamurim, that it could be that it's a bad idea to take a neder. They should always try to avoid taking a darim. That's if it's not an eis tzara. But if it's an eis tzara, it's a whole different story. Then it's not a good idea for a person to take the darim. How do you know? So Taisus quotes from Yaakov Avinu. It says Vayida Yaakov neder lemar. So Chazal say the Medrash says in that pasuk Vayida Yaakov neder lemar. What do you mean lemar? Lemar means saying to other people. It should say Vayida Yaakov neder. It should say Yaakov took the following neder. What does it mean, Lamar? Lamar liachirim. So Chazal say, Lamar means that he was teaching us Lederis. The Yaakov Avinu was setting a precedent for all generations. But either Yaakov Neder Lamar was telling his children, his grandchildren, all his descendants, all the Klal Yisrael, they should learn from him. What should they learn from him? That when you're in an Eis Tzara, he was in a pretty big Eis Tzara. He's running away from Mesiv, he's on the way to the Beis Lavan, he's scary stuff. So he was very nervous. It was a big Eis Tzara. So he took a neder, Yelakim Adi, etc., etc. He's going to build a base of Mikdash, he's going to bring Karbanos, etc., a base of Lakim. So comes Taisus and says, so here you see there's a mitzvah Ladairus that if a person finds himself in an Eis Tzara, so he should take the darim to bring Karbanos, or Bismanazay should take the darim to give Tzedakah. That's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. So under normal circumstances, it's a bad thing to take the darim, but if it's an Eis Tzara, so then it's a good thing because that's chus. That you'll be mezaris yourself to bring the tzedakah, to bring the carbon, that'll also be part of the schos. You have to just be careful. You know, even that it's good to say blinad. We're still nervous. Even with manazel, we're nervous. When we make mishabetz with people, a lot of shuls like to say, Bavush yitem blinad tzedakah, because we're afraid people are going to forget. But if a person really says they're making mishabetz for a chol, they really want to take a neder, so the Taisa decides you're allowed to take a neder if it's the eis tzara. But one should just be careful about that. Anyway. Get back to the story. So you see that there's an added dimension of giving tzedakah, dafka at a time, an eis tzara. So that makes a lot of sense. We have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these are eis tzara. As we said before, if there's a special kim of tefillah during this period of time, so there's also going to be a special kim of tzedakah during this period of time. Why is it that there's such a special dimension of giving tzedakah? Why is it that tzedakah is mavirin esrei hagezeira? So we understand why tshuva is mavirin esrei hagezeira. A person, if he has more averus than mitzvah, so he's in bad shape. So there's a esrei hagezeira coming. So if he does tshuva, so we understand that he offsets the averus. Well, it's a tefillah, we understand also, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu shomea tefillah seinu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillahs. So even though a person really, if he meets a din, he shouldn't really win, but if he comes to the Rebbe Shalom, he begs, please, please, please do me a favor, please, please. So I understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu birachimim yishomea tefillah. But what does Tzedakah have to do with anything? Why is Tzedakah mavirin esrei hagezeira? It doesn't say hanochas tefillah mavirin esrei hagezeira. It doesn't say that sitting in the sukkah making kiddush on Shabbos mavirin esrei hagezeira. So what is it about the mitzvah of Tzedakah that has that ability to somehow change a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mind kaviyachol to have an effect on potentially a bad gezeira? So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the first parak, commenting on the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, that in the very first Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was keres bris with Moshe Rabbeinu on the Yud Gimel Midas. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that Balamish and Asate HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol kishulech tzibur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu he got up like a pristalos on, like a chazen, and he read in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yav Hashem upon HaVayikra, Hashem Hashem Karach HaMachanun. And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they should tell Klal Yisrael that whenever they're chaytei, and whenever they want to be chayzi b'tshuva, and they want mechila, so yasu l'fana kesei d'azem yadani mechilahem. So they should do like this, they should follow my role, should follow I'm the role model for them, kaviyachol. They should have the shalich tzibah, put on his talus, put his talus over his head, whatever yisateh means, and they should say the yigivu midas and shoy. So rather than Mefarshim point out that it doesn't say that Yom Ulufana Yigimamidas. It says Yasu Lufana Kesedir Azah. They should do like this. They should act like this. What does it mean? The Chayr, the Yom Ulufana Kesedir Azah means that they should say the Yigimamidas. So if Chazal meant they should say the Yigimamidas, so then it should have said Yom Ulufana. Why does it say Yasu Lufana? So the Mefarshim explained that Yasu Lufana means that just time to say the Yigimamidas does not necessarily ensure, there's no Krisus Bris, you're going to get a mechila for that. It's time to scream out, Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Mechana, and read Psalm of Bashas Kisisa, that doesn't ensure mechila Savainis. Yasu Lufana, that means, I want you to emulate me. I want you to act like me. What does it mean to act like me? Not just to put on a talus and stand like a shliach tzibur and shuckle and cry out Hashem Hashem Karach Machanan. I want you to become a racham, and I want you to become a chanun, and I want you to become an erech apayim, Rav Chesed VMS. I want you to do like I'm doing. The same way that I'm being a chanun, racham, erech apayim to you, I want you to be as well. That's the Krisus Bris. The Krisus Bris was on, not on the Amiras Yigimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim in that respect of being mahuchan and afatachan, mahuracham, atarachum, that's what this krisus bris is on. So the chere, it's that dimension of the mitzvah of tzedakah that is the mavirnas roha gezeira. Tzedakah is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, but we're not assured of mechilas avonos just for doing mitzvahs. We're assured of mechilas avonos when, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu follows the rule of b'midash adam meidikach meidimasai. But the way a person acts towards others, that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu acts towards you. So by the mitzvah of tzedakah, when it's given, Taurus racham, lechan, etc., a person is giving the tzedakah, not just that, he's throwing a check at a person, but he's doing it b'toras, racham v'chanun, that he's becoming an ish racham, he's becoming an ish chanun. If that's the case, so that tach is mavirnas reha gezeira. So that's why we see that the giving of tzedakah is not only important in terms of what the recipient gets, it's not only important that I'm providing for the guy with $1,000, that's also an important part of the mitzvah. But it's critical, the mitzvah of tzedakah, in order for it to perform properly, in order to have this effect of mahu chanun afatah chanun, it has to be done in a certain mindset. So a person, when it comes to other mitzvahs, if a person does a mitzvah and doesn't have the right mindset, they still yike to the mitzvah. What the mitzvah is tzichus kavanah, tzichus kavanah, tzichus kavanah, ain't tzichus kavanah means that instead of blowing shofar for the mitzvah, I'm blowing shofar because I like the sound. That's called mitzvah. That's called lack of kavanah for mitzvahs. But if I do a mitzvah and I'm upset about doing the mitzvah, I'm waking up in the morning, I'm putting on tefillin, I'd rather be sleeping, so I'm still yet to the mitzvah. Okay, so Ravon Shalom would prefer that I do mitzvahs b'simcha, b'leiv shalom, you know, that's true. Okay, so we try to strive to do mitzvahs from the proper mindset. But tachas, bottom line, push comes to shove, if I put on tefillin and I'm miserable about it, I'd rather be sleeping, I'm still yaitzei the mitzvah tefillin. If I come to shul and I hear the shofar and I'd rather be a playing ball outside, I'm still yaitzei the mitzvah tekiyas shofar. But when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, so the Torah tells us, the Torah says, if you're giving tzedakah and you're upset about it, I'd rather not be giving. I really don't want to be bothered. This is the 16th guy who knocked on my door already today. I'd rather not be giving it. So the Torah screams to you and says, no, that if you're giving tzedakah, you're violating a din in the Torah. The Ramban counts it as one of the tag mitzvahs. That according to some, if you give the tzedakah b'tachra, if you're not yet giving the tzedakah, because the spirit that you're giving the tzedakah in is not just because you don't want to make the ani feel bad. That's also true. If I give the tzedakah b'ruah halev, so then the ani is going to feel bad. So even though I'm giving him $100, but I'm offsetting that with making him feel bad. But what if I give it to him with a big smile? I don't even give it to him. I mail him a check, but as I'm putting the stamp on, I'm miserable that I feel terrible. When the ani receives the check in Rishalayim, he doesn't know whether I put that stamp on with a smile or not. He's getting the same $100. So in terms of the fact that I'm causing the ani tzar, I'm not causing him any tzar, but that's still a violation of the Yeira Levav Chabasid Chalo. Because a Yeira Levav Chabasid Chalo is not just a din in the ani, it's not just a din that the recipient is not getting the smiley face. Even if he doesn't know about the lack of smiley face, it's a din in the Naisein. It's a din that if you give the tzedakah b'tech ra lev, so you're not fulfilling tzedakah. Why not? But I gave him $100. My nafkamina. The nafkamina is, yeah, you gave him $100, but you didn't become an ish chanan v'racham because of it. How could you become transformed? How can you become a chanan v'racham if you don't like what you're doing? So the kavana that you're giving is an integral part of fulfilling lahu chanan afatah chanan. That's what the Chavetz Chaim commented on the pasuk. In Navi, the pasuk says, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want of you? Asayis mishpat v'yavas chesed. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to do justice and to love kindness. So the Chavetz Chaim asked, why the change in terms? It should be asos mishpat v'asos chesed, or it should be avas chesed v'avas mishpat. What the difference? So the Chavetz Chaim says, no, mishpat you don't have to love. A guy is a dying and a din tayin. He doesn't like his job. There's no mitzvah to love your job. You're a judge. Your job as a dayan is to make sure that yesh, make sure that emes takes place, make sure that mishpat is meted out. You don't have to love what you're doing. You have to make mishpat. But when it comes to chesed, if a person, nevach, my job is to visit people in the hospital. I can't stand, I don't care whether they're alive, they're not alive, it's a chbatli. My job is to make people happy at weddings. So I run around dancing at weddings. I don't care the chosses, I don't care the kalas. So that's not avas chesed. That's a sos chesed. The mitzvah is not ourselves chesed. The mitzvah is not to just to do chesed to somebody else. The mitzvah is to love what you're doing. Chesed is supposed to be done with love. Why does chesed have to be done with love? So not just because otherwise the recipient won't appreciate it. The recipient will have a good time whether you whether I like what I'm doing or not. I'll be a good faker. I'll put in a gewaltig smile. I'll put a real, I'll put in a good show. He'll never know that I'd rather be doing something else. That's still not called avas chesed, because chesed and tzedakah, those mitzvahs, the whole purpose of those mitzvahs is not just to give the recipient something, but it's to transform me into becoming an isha chesed. I have to become a baal chesed, not just to be isha chesed, I have to be an ayat chesed, in order for me to become Dome to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say about Tshuva Tefil Tzedakah, Tzedakah is Mavrinus Ra Gzeira. It's not just the mitzvah of Tzedakah that's Mavrinus Ra Gzeira, not just the fact that I provided somebody else with a couple of pennies, but what's Mavrinus Ra Gzeira is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that I become an Ish Chesed, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts accordingly as well. If I'm an Ish Chesed, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will copy me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow me. It's Midah Kedech HaMidah. If I follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footsteps, so he will follow in my footsteps. So Midah Shadam Maidin, Kach Maidin Lai. So these three secrets that we have, these three special tools that we have to help us at this time of the year, so these are things that speak to us all year long. Tshuva Tefil Tzedakah Chiyuvim and Chiyuvim all year long, but each one of them has a unique dimension. The Tshuva's unique dimension of this time of the year, either Ben Yonah's version, the Rambam's version. Tefillah's unique dimension, the Rambam, the Ramban, what we're trying to accomplish at this time of the year. Tzedakah, the special ability of Tzedakah to be Mavrin Ashrei Gezeirah. So this goes above and beyond the Tzedakah of the rest of the year. So hopefully we should be Zeicha to improve ourselves in all these three areas. And these should be our three things that represent us as the Yom HaDin comes to us. Okay. Safiya, we'll take a minute.